Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Cardin, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Why Won't You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, was trying to figure out why I'm still single. But honestly, nobody knows. So I'm just talking to fun people having a nice time. And my guest today is a hilarious comedian, actress, and writer known for her work on South Side, Insecure, and a Black Lady sketch show. You've recently seen her stealing scenes as Officer Nikki on the Emmy-nominated series Jury Duty, which I thought was very funny. I'm thrilled she's here today. I might fuck up her last name, but I'm going to try really hard. It's Rashida Sheeds Olaiwola. Oh, no.
You did it. No, you did it. You said Olaiwola.
I tried so hard. It's such a pretty name that I was like, I don't want to fuck this up. Sheets, how are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm thriving. I'm living my best life as a single woman. Are you single?
I am single. I don't want to be, but I am. And so I'm doing good. Shit.
Okay, so you don't want to be single. What are you doing to combat being a single lady?
So, you know, I go to a lot of therapy with my Black woman therapist. And what I'm not doing, which I think is important, is I'm not settling. So I'd rather be single than settling. Okay. And I decided in 2024, I'm not going to be on any apps because I don't like meeting people through apps anymore. It's a nightmare. And I've tried them all. Raya, Hinged. I actually liked Hinge, but it was just the more that my life blows up, is blowing up, it's hard to decipher through. Like, I was meeting dudes who act like they like me, and then I would get to the date and they'd be like, yeah, so I got this script. And I'm like, oh my God.
No, that's only happened to me once, which is very... It's like disarming because you're like, wait a minute, you want me to read a script on this date with you?
Right. Or you want me to talk about how you can get into a room? Or it's really, like you said, it's disarming and it's gross. It's like, you don't like me, so what are we doing here?
I might take a cue from you and get off the apps in 2024 because they're not good. They're not like, I haven't been on a date in forever. I've been swiping. The last person I matched with messaged me, but then was having a bunch of problems and then they couldn't meet up. And I was like, I don't know you. I don't want any of this. If you want to go out with me, let's go out. But if you don't, leave me the fuck alone.
That's me. That's my whole MO, man. Like, and I had something similar happen to me the last day I went on. Like, I actually liked the dude because he made me laugh. Anybody who, like, makes me laugh, I'm attracted to him. You know, I was like, oh, this is cool. And then he just, it just started being weird. Not, we met on Hinged. And then, like, we went on 2 dates. And for both dates, he was late. And I was like, why does this man keep being late? Like, what is it? What's going on? So then, after he asked me out a third time, I was like, you know, I value my time. I'm like, clearly you don't. And I was like, 10 minutes, okay. 5, cool. But 20 and 30 minutes, what's going on? And that's when I found out that he was a liar. He lied about having a car. This man was literally taking the train all the way from Inglewood to closer to, like, to wherever. I don't know. I'm not from LA, so I don't know how their train system works. I didn't even know they had one. But he was lying, and it was just like, if you're lying about that, what else are you lying about? And so I was just so turned off. And he was like, oh, I thought you weren't like that. It's not because I don't have a car because this. And I was like, it ain't about that you don't have a car. You were lying about why you were late. So that turns me off. And like you said, I don't know you. We met on an app, and if anybody who knows me, I'm so personable. Like, I'm organic. Most of my relationships, even in industry and out of the industry, are so organic. My friendships, all of that. And I don't like the feeling of, like, having to be on this app, warm up. Shout out to anybody who met their husband, wife, partner on these things. Mm-hmm. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. Because this whole, like, hey, what's up? What's up? What you doing? Hey, then a day or two goes past. And I'm just like, I don't have time. Mm-hmm. So what I'm doing to answer your question, I am putting myself out there. I'm going to more events because I spent a lot of time, like, working while God works and doing the dream work, to where sometimes I don't get to go to as much things as I like. But now I'm going to more things my friends invite me to, whether it's a concert, whether it's everyday people in LA, that's bomb. And events where I'm like, I can meet good people. And I also talk to all of my good friends. I had a meeting with them at the end of the year. Yes, I did. I said, I need y'all to look out for a sister. If you know a suitable man, preferably black man or of the diaspora or Afro Latino, I don't listen. I'm at that point. I'm like, tell them about me. Cause I've noticed in a lot of other friend groups that I heard from, they like hook people up or be like, hey, I know her. Mm-hmm. You should meet her. So I talked to them about that, and they were like, say less, because I ain't got time.
That's smart. I mean, I've tried to do that with my friends, but I feel like I know everyone they know, and it's a bunch of comedy people or people I don't want to date. And it's like, oh boy. And then I'm having trouble because I'm like, well, apps are the only way I have dated for the last, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 years. And I'm like, I don't want to do it anymore. It feels useless, but I guess I just have to leave my house, go to things.
We do, sis. We do. That's like, I'm stepping out on faith, and we have a whole plan. And I'm like, I'm done with these apps. I'm like, and we paying for them. Like, I'm sorry. I could save my $75 a year from Raya, and I can save my $21.99 from Hinge.
I love that you know the exact prices that you pay on each app.
Look, Apple won't let you forget. They creep up on you where you be like, damn, wait a minute.
That is the first thing I did this year. In 2024, I stopped paying for the apps because I was like, I don't open them. I'm never on them. I'm not doing it. So it's like, why am I just throwing my money away? Mm-hmm. So that was like the very first thing I did. And then the second thing I did was... yeah, COVID, so I can't go out. And then the third thing I'm going to do is, once I'm healthy, is gather all my single friends and then have, like, I think I'm going to try to, like, go out once a week to, like, a bar, or I don't really want to do singles mixers. I just, that just feels a little, I don't know, too putting myself out there in a way that doesn't feel good. But I'm like, once a week, I can go to a bar, I can get a drink, I could, you know, try to talk to one dude. And that's not hard. I could do that.
As of recently, I've noticed, I didn't know Soho House, the nice ones, like the one in West Hollywood, the one in Malibu, they have these happy hour events and they be bussing. Like, I didn't even know. I just was there working one day and then the waiter came over and was like, hey, we just want to let you know we're about to start our happy hour mixers. Girl, they are bomb. So that's something I'm trying to go to like every Thursday evening because, and at least I know them people in there, maybe not all of them because some people, they be guests of the people who have the memberships and shit. But at least
but
I know
like,
I'm
70%
in,
of these people have a job.
I'm like 70% of them have a job that, you know, I know they ain't lying about taking the train here. So, I just have been stumbling apart or just like I know like you and I and other folks were in like the TV Academy and all the they have these things. They have events that I'm like I used to ignore all the time. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to see if one of my best friends wants to go to this Academy mixer just to, you know, you don't know where your person's going to be. But I'm like, if I'm going to take myself off these apps, I'm going to do the work of like going, putting myself out there. Like single sheets is determined to not be single no more because I'm tired. I ain't doing this life by myself. I can do it by myself, but I don't want to.
Yeah, that is the distinction that I think because sometimes people are like, well, if you're so desperate, you could just, you know, date any old person. I'm like, it's not desperation.
Right.
I would like to share my life with somebody. I would like to come home to somebody I really love and, you know, tell them about my day and shit. But it's so annoying because, like, the dating somebody in the beginning is so hard. It's hard to, like, get to know people. It's hard to, like, put yourself out there. But then once you're in the relationship, you're like, oh, I'm comfortable with this person. That's nice. And then you got to make it work. And then that's the hard part.
It's so hard. It's so hard. I have a dude. I hope he, well, even if he listens to this, I don't care. He's interested in me now. And, like, he just refuses to do the work. And I'm just like, I told him to call me before I had to go out of town for some work. And he was like, oh, okay. Didn't call. And the next week, he was just like, man, you've been looking so good on these red carpets. Like, it should have been me on your arm. And I'm like, bro, you didn't even call. It could have been you.
You didn't call. You didn't do the... That's the wildest thing.
It's wild.
I'm asking you to do one thing. And it's like, you can't do one tiny little thing, which is call me. You don't even got to leave your house. You just have to pick up your fucking phone, which is probably already in your hand, and dial a number. You don't even have to dial a number. You find my name, and you hit send, and you call me.
Listen, with all these damn iPhone updates, they making it easier and easier for you to call people. You even see the damn picture when you call them now. And they pop up. I know what outfit you got on. Bruh, so stop playing with me. But it's like you said, it's like you couldn't even do the simplest shit, but now you want to, I'm supposed to listen to how good I look and how you were supposed to be. No, I'm sorry.
No, no, thank you. Yeah, man, it's tough in these streets. You're one of 72 grandchildren. That's so many grandchildren.
Yeah.
Are your parents still together?
No, I don't even think my parents were ever together. My father is Nigerian, so he's in Africa somewhere. I don't know where he is, but that's how that I got that last name. You know, I'm proud of everything I am. And my mom is born and bred, first generation in Chicago. So I'm Shigerian. My grandparents migrated from the South. And so when I was younger, my grandparents used to always say wealthy back then for Black folks was a big family. Like, so my mom is one of 12 children. So if each of those children have like five or six, it's easy to see how I'm one of like 70, you know, and that's like all of us together. So I come from a very huge, large, fertile ass family.
That's wild. 72 grandchildren is so many. Your family reunions must be wild.
Yes, and my birthday parties when I was little, I never got to invite friends from school because they was like, it's already, you got your cousins. I used to be like, damn, y'all can't buy one more extra pack of hot dogs? Like, I want to invite some of my friends from school, but I couldn't because it was like all my cousins. My cousins were at my birthday parties until I was at least like 11, 12 years old.
Do you feel like your cousins or anything were like protective of you when you started dating or no?
Yes. Even as of recently, So one of my cousins, he's in the business and like little real howery. When people find out that we're related, they're like, what the hell? So they are protective. His brother had came in to visit us. And so my big cousin, Matt, I had just got out of my last relationship was the toughest year for all of us, 2020. It had ended in 2020. And so he had came like early 2021 and he was like, man, cuz, you doing so good. You looking so nice, blah, blah. Where's your guys at? And I was like, well, I just got out of a relationship. It ended terribly. And he was like, well, what that nigga do? Like, they don't play. Like, they're, and because of the kind of heart and mind I have and how I move throughout the world, they always are like, we know you didn't do nothing. What did they do? Or like, even when I talk to Rel and I'm just like, yo, tell me about your friend. He's like, I don't want you with none of them. Or I'm just like, or he'll be like, I'm a find a good dude for you. Or I'll, you know, but even my family, my cousins back at home, I don't think I want none of the people they would hook me up with. Cause my last, they still in the hood and shit. And my last cousin, when I was home, this is a funny story. I was home visiting and there are certain areas I can't go to no more. So my cousin Birdie was like, oh, my guy like you, he's good, he got his own crib, blah blah blah, they look out for stuff like that. And he was like, he loyal. I'm like, oh, okay. Come to find out, this man is on house arrest. Of course he's loyal. Where the fuck can he go?
He can't go anywhere.
He was like, but he's not gonna be on house arrest for long. He's only on house arrest because before he started his car business, I'm like, I don't even want to know no more. Like, this man is on house arrest. Why do I want a man with an ankle bracelet? Like, so, but they are protective of me. Even when we were little, I have so many stories of just like things that happened. I don't know if you want to hear it, if you got time, but it's one that's hilarious. If I can tell you the dynamic. So when I was little, I played basketball and soccer. I was really good. And for those, anybody out there who grew up in the inner cities, we would play basketball in the alley. We would hang a milk crate on the phone post, cut the bottom out, and that's how you play basketball. And so I'm 11 or 12, and I'm like hooping, you know, and everybody, all the dudes, I was like one of the only girls they would pick to be on our team because I was really good. You know, I didn't know what sexism was at a young age. I don't think any of us did. So one day I go up for the, you know, the layup. And when I come down, I'm bleeding. I don't know where this blood is coming from. Okay, pause real quick. For those who have put two and two together, I started my period.
Yes.
I didn't know that. And they didn't know that. I fell, and the dude who, like, tried to block my shot, when my cousin saw me bleeding, they, like, was beating this dude's ass. Like, what'd you do? Like, you hurt her. And mind you, I'm putting on a full fucking drama acting class.
Show,
I'm like,
oh. A show.
So my cousin, Birdie, KK, China Man, listen to these nicknames, y'all. I am from the ghetto. So I don't know if anybody's ever seen the movie or if you've seen the movie, Nicole, Menace to Society. When Kane got shot, how they picked him up. The man got shot in the shoulder, but you would have thought he was just being assassinated. So they carry me in the house like I'm Kane off Menace Society. The blood is all over my pants. It's on my shirt. And my grandma's like, what happened? What happened? And they're like, they hit her. She went up for the basketball. So my grandma's like looking and she's like, where does it hurt? And I was like, it doesn't hurt. And she's like, well, where? She took me in her bedroom. She's like, well, where is it coming from? And I was like, and I pointed to my crotch area and she was like, oh, baby, yeah, sit down. So she called my mom from work. It was a whole thing. But my cousins, like, literally till this day was like, yeah, we beat his ass because they didn't know. That's how protective shit was. And like that story till this day makes us all laugh because now we're all adults and they're like, man, we beat up. And the dude across the street that they beat up, his name was Rabbit. And they were like, we beat him up for no reason. I'm like, well, you didn't know.
I mean, Rabbit probably goes through life being like, I got to treat women right. I can't be doing shit to women. So maybe it was good for Rabbit to get his ass beat for a little bit.
And then once that that chapter happened in my life, Rabbit was, I was wondering why Rabbit was liking on me. I was like, okay. So Rabbit was one of my first boyfriends after that. My 12-year-old boyfriend.
That's adorable. Also, it's so funny that you didn't get like taught about your period until that moment, until it was like
until
happening,
that moment.
Which I think a lot of women go through that, where it's like, I don't know what's happening. My sister didn't know what was happening to her. The only reason why I knew what a period was is because I had an older sister, and then I read this book called Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. And I was like, when is it gonna happen to me? And it happened so late, and I was so sad about it. But now I'm like, let's go back to those days where I don't have it. I don't like it.
Right. My shit, I did not know. And I was like, why didn't they tell? But, you know, that's a whole nother topic. But I didn't know until that moment. And of all places, hooping in an alley with a bunch of sweaty boys.
I mean, that is a way to be like, oh, I guess women are different than men. My period has never been regular. And then I got birth control. And then it became even less regular. I get it so, like, I'll have my period for, like, 7 days. It goes away for 3, and then I get it again for 7 days. And then I was like, I've been sad this year. And I was like, wait, is my birth control making me sad? And then I Googled it. Birth control can make you depressed. And
absolutely.
I was like, why didn't anyone tell me this when I got it? And then when I was sad, why didn't anyone go, do you have birth control? Because I've never been depressed like this before. So I'm getting it taken out because I'm not controlling any births right now.
So the least you can do is control like the emotions and shit.
Yeah, the emotion, the ups and downs. And then hopefully right. My period will go back to like being non-existent, because that was delight. I used to get it for like 3 days. It would hurt for 2, but it would last for 3. And I was done for the month.
That's me.
Bring that back.
Hurts for 2. I have it for like 3, 4. And then I'm cool.
Yeah, that's what I want. I want to get back to that. Real quick, we got to take a break. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops, and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing, because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now you get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Where in Chicago are you from? My whole family lives on the south side.
Yeah, so I was born on the west side of Chicago. And then after, like around high school time, south side of Chicago. So I always be like Chicago over everything. I am truly like a born and bred Chicagoan.
I love Chicago. The only thing about Chicago that I don't love is it's so segregated in a way that is so wild to me. Because I remember when I was little, anytime I saw a white, like anytime a white person was like, oh, I'm from Chicago. I'm like, you're from the suburbs. I've never seen you on the south side.
Right.
And then I went to the north side and I was like,
and you're like,
there's so many.
There's so many and less potholes. Oh, gosh, yes.
You said it. You fucking said it. It's wild.
It's wild because they built it that way. I'm such a nerd, like history nerd, science nerd, but they built it that way in like the 40s, the way that they built the train system. That's why they call it the Red Line. The Red Line runs through. It's segregated. So even with, not just like with the black people and with the expressways, the way that they built the bridges, the bridges go up at night, you're separated. Like the streets that connect, that's a lot of things that people don't know, or like certain train lines that stop running at a certain time. I remember like being out all night and I couldn't get home one time. I was like, what the fuck? And they were like, well, the Red Line doesn't go to 95th after 10 o'clock. And you're like, well, why does the fuck does it still go up north to Sedgwick? And it's just like a lot of little things that they're trying to get better at now, but people be like, well, why all the best food on the south side and the west side? Well, that's where it's mostly seasoned at.
That's where we're at.
You know, even though Chicago in its entirety, whether you black, white, Hispanic, Latino, Greek, we have so many mixtures. At the end of the day, we don't play about Chicago. Like, that's the one thing we come together on is, like, we don't play about our city. We don't play about our food. We don't play about our sports teams. But it is very, like, you want to see the black people, they're here. You want to see the white folks, they're either up north or in the suburbs. You want to see, you got to go to Chinatown. You're going to go to Greektown. You're going to, even pockets of, like, those broken down by cultures, Little Italy, it's really everybody is where they're at. And we come together during, like, the summers and the festivals. But it was awesome growing up there and being from there is dope.
I love Chicago. Did you find dating in Chicago to be easier? So wait, did you move from Chicago to LA? No, you were in New York for 2 years, right?
I was in New York for 2 years, like a year and a half, 2 years, which I, and it was crazy. After every ended relationship, I like moved somewhere, but I did find it, it's way, way, way more easier dating in Chicago and New York as a black woman.
Yeah, I always say New York is easier. I've never really dated in Chicago because I would just spend my summers there and stuff, or like spend a couple weeks at a time. But LA is tough. LA is really, really hard. As you know, a black woman, and then also as a fat black woman, because I see the black women who go out with people, and I'm like, oh yeah, well, I don't think I'll ever look like that, nor do I want to. I love the way I look. And that is a hard thing to be like, I love the way I look, but like other people might not. And I don't know. Sometimes it gets sad, but other times I'm like, well, I mean, at least I like what I see in the mirror.
And at least you keep it away who's not for you. But out here is so hard. For me, what I've come to see is hard to date because as the story we were talking about in the beginning, I have to decipher who there. It'd be some men who literally... One of my first dates I ever went out with in LA, this dude was homeless and I didn't even know. He kept trying to get me to come near. He kept saying Wilshire. He's like, we could find a spot to go to on Wilshire, Wilshire, Wilshire. And I'm like, why is this dude hung up on Wilshire? He was like, well, it has to be before 8. He had all these weird. It's because his ass was trying to get back to the shelter before 8 or he was going to lose the bed he needed to be in. Nice looking dude, all that, but he was. He was broke. He was trying to come up off of me. Other ones are just like, you know, just speaking my truth, you see a lot of black men who date non-black women out here who want what we have. Like, I have friends who are black men all the time, and they're like, they'll complain to me about these non-black women. And I'm like, well, I don't understand. And also, you don't get to do that shit with me because I'm like, we got everything you quote unquote want, but what is it? Or you have the dudes where there are people looking for a come up. They see that you've made it. They haven't sown shit into you, but they want a way into the industry. And I'm just like, I'm trying to have a good date and a good time, and you're trying to prey on my success, which is insane.
After Jury Duty came out, do you feel like you had more people in the DMs, more people trying to go out with you? Because it was such a hit.
Yes. After, so it started to really get, become a way, because I'm such a multi, and I know that I'm sure you can relate to this because you are outstanding in every avenue you do, sis. I just want to give you your flowers on that.
Oh, shit.
Yes, I have to. If I'm sitting in a room with somebody I haven't sat in the room yet, you're going to get your flowers. Because I and it's going to be genuine, but I salute you. And I've watched everything you've done and I see how you treat people. So congrats. I'm a multifaceted person too. I'm a comedian, mm-hmm. an actress, a writer. We can add producer on the list, but there's so many hats that I work in. Award shows, like, they pull me to write for those. I've written for those. I've written for several different television shows, and now on screen I've blown up, and it's gonna continue with other projects coming out this year and the next. It's really, my DMs be on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I had to tell someone last week, they got upset at me because they were just like, quick question. Da, 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 da. And I was like, hello, happy new year, how are you? And it turned into, my bad, dang this. And I'm like, no, I was like, I don't even get greeted no more by some of mm-hmm. these folks, where it's just like, and then you get mad at me because you want, and like, you want something. Let me get this straight. You want something, you don't greet me, you don't say hello, and I'm just supposed to be like, oh, cool, yeah, here. It's crazy to me. Or just like, people were, I'm writing a book, but I want you to write it. Can we do lunch?
That's wild. What? You want me to be a ghostwriter? That's a whole ass right. job. I'm not doing that shit.
But they don't see it as that. They see it as just like, you know, and I'm a firm believer of giving grace, but not being no goofy. So mm-hmm. I give grace, but at the same time, you're not finna play with me. You're not finna play with my time. We work very hard, and we have to have our time and space for us too, to be able mm-hmm. to be and to thrive, especially as Black women, because people do it to us so much and be like, oh, well, she okay. Well, you don't know if I'm okay. You didn't even ask. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's after jury duty, it like exploded. I'm not a person who pays attention to social media like that. I only have one social media account. It's my Instagram. I've been begged to be on TikTok, all that stuff, but I just don't want to. It's not me. I like to mm-hmm. move how I move. So people will, like, my Instagram exploded in a year. It was just like, mm-hmm. I was cool with my 12. I had like 12.5 the last. Then I wake up and look up, and my friends who are into like social media and stuff, mm-hmm. man, you got 105,000. I'm like, I don't know, y'all. I'm like, I swear to God, I don't know what's going on. I'm literally trying my best to just like, you know, I'm always going to be she's, but this shit, it can get wild. And then you do have a lot of dudes who come in my DMs and say little stuff, or like, man, you look mm-hmm. good, or oh, I had a crush on you, or oh, like, you should give me some of your time. And I'm like, after I decipher through, it'd be the same dudes who don't do what's required to, like that dude I was telling you about. Like, I told you to call mm-hmm. me. You have the number to the bad line and you didn't use it. One dude asked me out on a date. Yeah. I told him, I was like, cool, yeah, we can go to this place. He's like, what place you want to go to? I'm like, well, I never tried this place, Bevel. It was a place called mm-hmm. Bevel or something.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, oh, I know the chef. Let me hit him up. He's like, what time do you want to do? I said, anytime before 9, because I don't eat after 9 o'clock anymore due to just my own health mm-hmm. and things that I have that was going on. And he's like, you don't eat after 9. Well, I was thinking 9:30. Oh, like, Nicole, please explain to me. I swear to God, I still have the message. I had to screenshot it because I literally couldn't believe what the hell I was listening to. I said, well, if you want to go to dinner by yourself at 9:30, that's fine. I was like, but all I said was I don't eat after 9 anymore. I can't. It uh-huh. literally makes me physically sick to eat after 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. He was like, oh, well, maybe next week I'll see if you want to go to dinner at. And also, who's starting dinner at 9 o'clock? Like, dude.
I mean, I have been to dinner at 9 o'clock when there's no reservations yeah, in this exactly. like a restaurant I really want to eat
exactly.
at.
Exactly.
But if somebody said to me that I'm trying to take out, I cannot eat after 9 p.m., I would go, oh, I don't think I'm going to be able to get us into that restaurant before 9.
Right.
9:30 is the earliest. Is there another place you want to go? Or maybe, here's my suggestion. We can go to this place. They have reservations
Girl.
At, you know, 7:38. That's so wild to then get mad
and
at
got
you
mad
to be
at
like,
me.
Oh, so you can't
and
eat.
And it gets worse. Here's the thing. We're both not slow. Like, I have to go to New York this weekend. There, you know how many dinners I'm going to go to that's after 9 o'clock? that I'll go to mm-hmm. because we know that's how the scene is. I probably won't eat anything. I mm-hmm. may have a drink or something, but yeah, exactly what you said. It gets worse because I'm like, I said, well, okay, well, maybe when I get back in town. He goes, well, now I got to see if I can get my reservation deposit back. Now, mind you, I have his number in my phone because what you going to do is never play me. I looked up the reservation deposit for Bevel. I sent this man $25. I was like, so now you don't have to worry about it. He was like, oh, my God, why would you do
don't worry
because
about
you
it.
Brought it up.
Yes.
You brought it up. So now you not only do you have your reservation deposit back, you're never getting dinner with me ever. I don't want dinner with you.
Wow. No, that's so wild. Let me see if I can get my $25 back. And it's like, yeah, maybe everyone doesn't have $25 to like throw around, but why did you make the reservation before confirming the time with you?
And then why would you do that if you were saying it's not? He was like, it's not about money. I'm sorry if I said it like that. No, I feel like you're a control freak and you say this to women all the time. And I'm not that type of woman where you could say things like that to. I'm actually very clear, very confident in who I am. And I thought that we could have had a good time, but you blew it.
But you had to go fuck it up.
You had to go fuck it up, Ike.
So you go to the Sequoia Mountains twice a year. Is that to like find yourself, ground yourself? What is that? What is that about? I've never been to the Sequoia Mountains. So what is it?
I do. It's my happy place. It became mm-hmm. my happy place in 2020. And how I found out about it, I was 11 years old. My teacher, Mr. Gershon, fifth grade teacher, shout out to him. I hope he's still alive. Last time I checked, he was. So I went to Chicago Public Schools and, you know, we don't see things like that. We didn't. Mm-hmm. I didn't. And so he came in from spring break with pictures with him and his children at the Sequoia Mountains. And during recess, I wanted to look at those pictures all day, every day, because I couldn't believe, my brain couldn't connect that there mm-hmm. were places that looked like this. And he told me, he said, you're going to go there one day. And I was like, I hope so. He said, there's a giant forest there. Mind you, I'm just like, I'm 11 years mm-hmm. old. Like, what? So 2020 was a tough year for everybody, but I also had something tragic happen that year. My niece was killed that year, my teenage mm-hmm. niece. But at the same time, all this beautiful stuff was happening. I had just breaking into the scene where Diallo Riddle and Bashir Salahuddin had hired me as one of their main writers on South for this show, Southside. Shout out to mm-hmm. my Southside fam. And then Sherman Showcase. And I was just like, oh, man, all this stuff is happening. But it was still like this, I don't know. Like, I was not happy. I was like, what mm-hmm. is it? So after we wrap a room, I was learning from other writers and comedians and just creators. Like, they're like, where are you going to go? We're about to wrap. Where are you going to go? You should treat yourself. And Ashley Nicole Black was one of those people. She's like, after you finish anything, always treat yourself, whether it's, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's a bag you want or, you know, a dinner or a trip. And I was like, well, I don't know. We're in COVID, so I can't get on a plane. And then I remembered one of the assistants in our room, his name is Paul. He was like, well, I'm going to go to Big Bear. He's like, you know, California has all these national parks. And I was mm-hmm. like, oh, man, there's this one national park I want to go to. I was like, it's called the Sequoia Mountains. And he's like, that's 3.5 hours up that way. When I tell you I lost my shit. So my friend, one of my very close friends, Marquita, she helped me research everything. And I'm very spiritual, so I also give respect to space and time. I do not play about time and space. So I researched like mm-hmm. the Native Americans who own the properties there and connected with this guy named Chief Paul. He's a part of the Yoku tribe in the Sequoia Mountains, connected with he's now my dear friend Christian. His family of Native descent owns like these luxury cabins there because it's like pay respect. I'm coming to somebody's hood. I want to go the mm-hmm. right way. They set it all up. When I called Chief Paul, I kid you not, he was like, Rashida, what's crazy is me and my wife, Jessica, we were just doing sunrise prayer. We knew you were going to come here before you came here. It's time. Like, I was just like, mm-hmm. oh, my God. Went there for the first time. I'm talking about shook. There's, you drive, first of all, for any of the people who don't know, it's 3.5 hours outside of LA. But then you have to drive another hour to get up to the trees in the giant forest in the mountains, because sequoia trees are the largest trees in the world. They only grow in this one area. And they only start growing at 9,000 feet elevation. And then the highest, the giant forest is 15,000 feet elevation. So you're driving up and up and up. You have to literally physically go up, prepare to go up to see all these wonders. As you're going up, there's waterfalls. There's a lake running through. I was just like, what is this? And then, so we're in the car. We're in this car, and Chief Paul goes, all right, you ready? We're about to enter the giant forest. And there's a sign that says entering giant forest. Y'all, I didn't even know. I was like crying. I was like crying. It's just, I couldn't stop. And because when you start to go in the giant forest, there's these two big sequoia trees that are connected. They're called the twin, they're called the twin flame sequoias. They just grew like that. Sequoia trees, they grow in pods. So they're very family oriented. Trees have their own communication system. It's crazy. Y'all, I have never, it's something that a picture won't do it justice. The 11-year-old me couldn't do it. It's like, you're a dot compared to these massive trees that only grow here. And it's just like, it's my happy place. It restores me. It grounds me. It balances me. It connects me. It stabilizes me. Just like the sun. The sun heals, charges, warms, illuminates, nourishes. The moon. I love the moon. It manifests, rebirths, clears, enhances intuition. What does the ocean do? Nicole, it cleanses, it refreshes, it invigorates, it releases. So I had all of that in this one place. And I just like, I made it my business to go twice a year. I go either in the beginning of the year or the end, or I go in the end or the beginning. So I just came back from there. This was my first, spending my first New Year's there. And the best thing about it is sharing it with friends who are like, I want to go to that place with you. And that can't be any friend. You got to be right. Or like sometimes it'll be like some friends who have just gone through something, because I know what that feels like. But every time they go, they come back. They're like, this is magic. This is insane.
I love that. I love that so much. You did mention water. Water is where I feel the most serene and the most calm. Truly in the middle of the ocean where I cannot see land, because I feel like a dot. Like I feel like the smallest little thing. And then my life feels like it's not that important, and the world is so much bigger than it. And whatever shit I'm like feeling or whatever, it's like it kind of melts away. And then when there's like a rainbow, I'm like, oh God, it's just so pretty. Yeah, I love a place. Like I love going to a place and feeling serenity and calm and happiness. And I love that you saw the Sequoia, you know, National Forest as an 11-year-old and then as an adult got to go. Like, that's just really magical to me.
Yes, that, man, it's one of my favorite places in the world. And you're absolutely right. When we're in places such as like the ocean and the forest and these huge forests that like are untouched, and you are, it is, you, the other shit is irrelevant. It's like space. I feel like the ocean is just space. Think about this. 80% of the earth is covered by water, right? And only 30% of those waters have been even researched. Like, let our brains connect to that.
Yeah. It's so, there's so much shit in the ocean that we don't
know
about.
That we don't know about.
There's so many fish. There's so many animals. There's so many plants. There's so much that we just, we don't know. Maybe we'll never know. And I think that's so magical.
It is. It is very magical. And that's why we feel the way we feel when we connect with these things. So it's like, even when we circling back to the dating thing, it's like, look at all these beautiful things we do for ourselves. You think I'm going to let somebody play with me like that? No. But that's one of my dreams. And I write it down when I journal. I'm like, I can't wait to share that happy, special place with my guy, with my person. Because I know it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah. The thought of being on a boat with someone that I love romantically is, it just like brings a smile to my face, especially if they feel connected to the ocean in the way that I do. Or just that they're happy watching me connect to the ocean. They don't have to be connected to it. It's like, as long as you're happy watching me being happy, that makes me, that brings me joy.
That's the way it should be. And vice versa, I said, I can't wait to a person see me looking at those trees, the way I look and hike through that forest, the way I love to hike and walk through, that would just make my day. Like, sharing these spaces with someone, it is important. Wanting to build a life with someone, that shit is important, man. So,
real quick, we do have to take a break. Spring is the best time to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, tap into your power, and build towards whatever you're looking for. Okay, Peloton can accommodate your schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. Even if you only have 5 minutes, there's a class to get your body moving, and I have to stress how important that is. 5 minutes is better than no minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and mood. Move at your own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take the guesswork out of working out, so you can just jump right in, keeping your fitness journey fresh every day, because that's what it is, a journey. And listen, Peloton has everything you need to get to where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton is something for you. Ooh, the Peloton classes I like to do are strength training. I also like the yoga because I'm always trying to get more flexible because I love doing splits because I'm slutty. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who, like, is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dateme today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dateme. And we're back. So jury duty, there wasn't a script. It's unscripted. So, like, how do you, like, stay in character for that? Like, I feel like that's a talent that I don't know if I have.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. You got to be a talented mofo to do what we did, because I still sometimes look back, and I love that what Quinta said after the Emmys, when she was like, she gave us a special shout out. She was like, shout out to the cast of Jury Duty, because we were up against Abbott and the Bear and all them for comedy series of the year. And she's like, that was some of the best comedic acting I've ever seen in my life, because, and it was unscripted. We literally, not only did we have to stay these characters, we were building as we went. Like, when I got called for the audition for Bailiff Nikki, she just had a name, like, first name and a last name, and that was it. And on paper, it was like bailiff of the court, officer of the court. She runs the court with the judge, blah, blah. I had to give her a personality. I had to give her words. I had to give her, like, to have a certain care for these people, but also, like, a Black woman, you're not going to play with me, because she was a Black woman law enforcement. I researched. I had to do the work. And then I had to become and stay this character for 2 months. It was so hard, but also it was so fun, because that is shit that I love to do. I come from a very strong improvisational acting background. I am an alumni of the Second City of Chicago, Improv Olympics, Annoyance Theater in Chicago. Chicago is one of the comedy capitals of the world. And one of the things that I just remember learning from, and being one of 72 grandchildren, we used to play with each other all that. That's what I thought improv was called. I tell everybody this. I'm like, y'all, I didn't know improv had a name. When you grow up in a Black household, it's called go outside and play. go find something to do. And me and my cousin
would find anything to do.
Yes.
Just my grandma used to be
like, right. They used to be like, go outside and play, go do something. We wrote hip hop songs. We wrote parody songs. We made up, we played it all day. We used to play house. And so when you put someone like me in that world that gives it structure and gives it a name, I'm like, oh, okay, I got this. So with all of us, we just had a lot of trust and it was a lot of gift giving, like making sure we give gifts and also just being in the in that moment and making sure this Ronald dude don't figure shit out, and he didn't.
Did you do like briefings every day to be like, this is what's happened, this is you like what we want you to try to go for today? Like what a, I know it's a very technical question, but I'm very interested.
But it's a good question because we did. You're right. We absolutely had. I know for, I can't speak for the others because they, at one point they had to separate me and the rest of the cast, me and the judge, like the legal team. And I had a, my green room was upstairs. My like, you know, we couldn't have trailers because, of course, that. So they had these hidden rooms in the courthouse. Exactly. They had hidden rooms in the courthouse. And my room was upstairs. It was like a little apartment up there. And whenever they needed me, they. So in the morning, our call times were like 4:30, 5 a.m. in the morning. Because remember, this is court. So we have to be there before to get ready for court. And then we're sequestered. I have to go get Ronald from the hotel. Then so they would come to me, like we would have briefings at like 7 a.m. after I got on my like cop suit and all this shit. And my director, Jake, and showrunner Cody and Nick Hatton, they would be like, OK, Rashida, here are the daily beats. But first, what do you know that we need to know that's going on through his head? So I would be like, well, he spoke to his girlfriend on because he only got two phone calls. I'm like, well, this is what's going on. Or even if it was other cast shit that was being loose, I'm like, well, these two need to tighten up because, you know, I seen how he was looking at this. So we had briefings. And then at the end of the day, after we would drop him and other the ones who were sequestered in the hotel with him, we would have another end of day briefing at like the same time, like 7 p.m. And then in the morning, I'd get my beats of like, so you're going to go pick him up. Court's going to start this time. Get the lunch orders this time. The rest was all just us, like, making this shit up as we go.
I love it. That's so fun. That's so
collaborative
and just, like, a special way to make a TV show.
Yeah, it was cool. It was, like, I didn't know what I was getting into because when I auditioned, it just said court show, and we didn't know what it was. And then when we all came to the table read, which was just, like, us talking to each other, they were like, yeah, so... It's going to be like The Office meets Sacha Baron Cohen meets Truman Show. We were just like, okay, you know, but everybody.
Okay.
Everybody committed to it and we made something great. And it's gotten all of the we're Golden Globe and all of the shit that, you know, people want. It's gotten that. And it's blown. It's done what it needed to do. I know a lot of people ask like, well, you were working before this. I'm like, yeah, I was dog working before this, but. What it did for my life on screen to let people know like, oh, she cold, like she's dope. She can, like, we get it. You can also see my writer brain. You can see my comedian brain and you can see my comedic actor brain all in this one character, which has blown up my life tremendously. And I'm excited for my future.
I love that. You also did the CBS showcase. I did the CBS showcase. It was an interesting experience.
Right.
Did you do the show or no?
I didn't do the show. I'm able to talk about it now because they have, well, the new people have since then apologized for things that I went through in 2017. It was a lot. I mean, it's no secret. They had to remove people during that time, but you know, I faced a lot of racism. I faced a lot of everything and to the point where I didn't do the showcase. I actually left with my material because I was told at that time I was too black and too smart, which I thought was something I'm supposed to embrace, which I do embrace, which is why I left. And now here we are 7 years later. And I know there's an alumni showcase coming up where shout out to Dory Potter. He came to me because of what happened. And I told this story before and he was like, we want to make this right. We like are proud of you. He was like, I wasn't in a position to be to do what I'm able to do now, but there's an alumni, there's some type of alumni show that's coming up with all the big wigs, mm-hmm. like those who are able to do it, and they wanted me to be a part of it. And like reparations too. Like I'm all about being Black in this world. Like there's shit that we go through that people couldn't even imagine. Or probably mm-hmm. they'd be like, how do y'all do that? We shouldn't have to, but we do it. I'm all about making stuff right for the next person behind me mm-hmm. who have to stand on my shoulders, who have to stand on your shoulders, Nicole. Like, that's what I'm about. And how they came at me after, like, knowing and hearing it, I'm like, sure. I'm not stupid. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want bad blood with a person who's taken off. And I'm truly a good person. I don't even have to say that shit, but be for real. But my experience with the showcase then was not, it wasn't, you know. But there's ways to hopefully, it you know, from here, people can see. Like, also, stand on your integrity. Don't fold on who you are. And that's what I'm about.
A very good lesson that it's like, you don't have to eat shit in order to, like, that succeed. Far. You can succeed on your own merit. You can say yes to things that you believe in. You can say no when something, it doesn't feel right.
Right, and it didn't feel right. And I move with integrity, goodness, and you're not finna degrade me, and then I'd be like, yeah, that was great. But I'm dying inside. No, I was like, I'm out. Yeah. I'll see y'all around. And here I am mm-hmm. 7 years later, seeing you around.
You also went to school. So you were a Black studies major with a minor in theater. You were going to study astronomy. Were you trying to get to NASA?
You already know it, baby. I was trying to be out there with the stars and shit. I've been connected to space since I was a little kid. It was like either I was going to be an astronaut, DJ, or what I'm doing now. And mm-hmm. I'm doing what I'm doing now, and I love it so much. But also, how about I get to write? Maybe I want to be an astronaut and play that one day. Or just, I love space so much. And then I love music. The way that I can build and do a music drop, I just embrace everything that I am. But I was like, my friends were pissed off at me in college because we had to take, you got to take electives to graduate and shit. Mm-hmm. And two of my friends, Jasmine and Siobhan, they needed two electives to graduate. And I was like, y'all should take this astrology class with me. And they were like, oh, okay, is it easy? I'm saying yes, because it was easy for me. I got all A's. Everybody in the program loved me. One of my professors, Professor Kevin, I used to stay after class and talk with him about the polar ice capsules on Mars. Mm-hmm. My two friends was like, bitch, are you serious? I'm getting a D. I have to graduate. So I helped them out and helped them to pass the class. But they were like, don't you ever in your life suggest a class for us to take. Like, we thought you was going to suggest like dance 101. But I was like, it's so easy. Are you kidding me? They're like, it's math involved and shit. And I'm like, I'm such a nerd, though. That came easy to me.
I love that. I would be one of the friends that was like, don't do that to me. I don't know math like that. Space is space. Pissed. Space got stars and it's dark.
Right. They was like, bitch, you're goofy ass. What? Who does that? I'm like, I'm sorry.
Do you have any advice for fellow single people out there?
I do. I would say the advice that I would give to my fellow single people, none of us will be single for too much longer because our person is going to come to us and we're going to come to them. But I would say, don't fold on your, like, the things you truly believe in, like, and don't settle. Like, don't be desperate, because what's for us is going to come for us. Like, and the person, and that's for people too. And every time I've ever folded in my life or I've ever given into something, it always ends up worse. Like, it may feel good for that moment, but in the long run, it ain't no long run. So that's the advice I will give. And I'm sending positive, good vibes to all those who are looking to be single no more.
I like that. I'll take those good vibes, because I think 2024 is the year I find somebody.
It is.
And I'm very excited about it.
So if I could say to anybody listening who feel that they're compatible with me or interested, and you ain't know, you know, you got your life together, come on and go slide in my DMs.
Say what's up.
I mean, hey, say what's up. You see me outside? Don't be on no weird shit or no creep shit, but just, you know, say what's up.
I mean, put it out there. Put it out there. You heard it. Get in those DMs. Do you have anything that you want to promote?
Just, you know, be on the lookout for things that I have coming up. I know Good Times on Netflix is coming out this year. Excited about that. Ironheart on Marvel is, be on the lookout at that. And just, you'll see me everywhere as I continue to work and lean into the goodness of things. I'm excited.
I love that. I ask all my guests this. I've forgotten it a couple times, but would you date me?
Hell yeah.
Yes! Thank
you. The way you love yourself? Absolutely.
Sheets, thank you so much for doing this. I'm a very big fan of yours. I think you're great. I think you're so funny. And yeah, I'm happy for your success. I love seeing another, you know, black woman fucking killing it. So I'm so happy that you're doing the shit.
Thank you. And vice versa to you, sis. Like, I'm so proud of you from Netflix to Hulu to NBC. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. If you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, you can rate it, you can subscribe, you can give me 5 stars on iTunes. And if you write me something nasty hitting on me to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com, I will read it. This nice person said, "We meet at a bar and I'm immediately obsessed with your sweet smile and soft curves. I invite you back to my apartment and we play with my sex toy collection till all the batteries die. Then it's back to the old fashioned way. I go down on you for hours. What I lack in experience, I make up with enthusiasm. I am licking and sucking your clit while my fingers explore your warm center until you come over and over and over again. When you've had enough, it's morning. We get breakfast sandwiches and I take you to a nearby lake to see local ducks before you have to fly home." That's Sheets' face. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Why Won't You Date Me? With Nicole Byer. This show is produced by me, Mars, with guest research by Lindsay Kempf. It's executive produced by Adam Sachs, Nick Liao, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, with guest booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Maddie Ogden. Got a dirty message for Nicole? Write it to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com for a chance to have it featured on a future show.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week with a brand new episode. Bye-bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.